Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It is the 28th of March, 2016. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567 for those who are listening out of state, out of area, and out of country. We're also streaming at KCNR1460.com. It is 6.5 minutes after 7 this day, this Monday. Good morning. Good morning, Bad Bob.
Good morning.
Yeah, look at Bad Bob. He's ready to go. And Just Bob shaved his beard off. I didn't hardly recognize him.
My goodness, I should have looked up.
He must have lost 12 pounds. Just Bob. And he shaved his hair. I mean, that was a big beard.
How's it going?
Oh, well, you know what? I have the ongoing story, the continuing saga of Carl versus Northern California turkeys. I'll get into later.
Share with your Saturday mornings. Share with us. Well, good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Monday morning. It's currently 49 degrees out. Still, you know, it's all funny. It's still turtleneck weather. Mostly sunny today with our highs of 62. Partly cloudy tonight with our lows of 43. Tuesday calls for partly sunny with our highs of 68. And Tuesday night calls for lows of 44. More with the forecast, but the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Each and every time you read it, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts.
Well, what do we over there? Oh, my goodness. It was wild. So, Bad Bob, what'd you do on Easter there, buddy?
We actually drove up to see our friend Jack up in Bend, in Oregon. Langley, to be more precise. Beautiful, beautiful country up there. It was a lovely drive. It was typical Oregon weather much of the time, but it cleared up and was sunshiny just in time for us to drive home on Easter Sunday. Traffic remarkably light coming back down the 5.
How nice is that?
Everything nice and green up there, though, and coming down through the Shasta Valley, it was very, very nice and green. The time of year when real estate people can sell lots of stuff, because by the end of April, it'll all be brown.
That's well,
there you
exactly
go, because
right.
It does. Everything looks great now, and you give it a month, give it 2 months. Oh, but what about the lake? Where are we at with the lake?
The lake is at 20 feet from the top, elevation just shy of 1,047 feet, so we are near a full pole. That's probably where they're going to hold it for the time being. And let out about as much as comes in. There is some wet weather in the long-range forecast, and they don't want to get caught without that reserve capacity. But for all intents and purposes, the lake is effectively full.
Well, Dr. Patty Bay passed on some stuff on Facebook yesterday, and it showed the bridge, you know, the Veterans Bridge that goes across Lake Shasta, you know, right there by Bridge Bay. And it showed that at 2014, and, you know, it was just dry underneath it.
Yeah.
And this photo for 2016, it goes all the way up. I'm not even sure you could get a big boat through there right now. Mm. I mean, if you had a, you know, if you had a taller, you know, with a sailboat with a big mast on it, I'm not sure you could get through there right now.
It's well, there's fair clearance underneath that train trestle. It's higher than it looks.
Yeah,
you get
probably
down there on the lake and look up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it was, I mean, but just the comparison between them was just unbelievable.
There's the old road bridge that they actually, when they built the lake, they built a bridge on this one canyon, and then they filled the lake up, and the bridge was awash, so they built a second bridge on top of the first one.
Yeah.
And right now the second one is all the original bridge is nearly under. So beautiful water.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful water. Murky, though.
Jay Leno.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, we saw Jay Leno on Saturday night.
Tell you what.
It was okay. First of all, we went to Sacramento. What was it? Thursday? Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday and Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay. Just to make sure you're perfectly right.
I'm not sure.
Okay. So can I continue with my story? Good morning, honey.
I'm going to sit here and drink my coffee. As many of you men understand how that works.
We came
I'm
back
just going to sit here, open up a can of Shut Up, and,
no, that's right.
And drink my coffee.
Wednesday after the show. Anyway, so we came back on Friday and for a good friend's birthday party. Saturday, we got news that, you know, of course, Jay Leno, and we got to go backstage. And, you know, and it was the first time I've been in a, like, a VIP thing like that where you actually had, could ask questions.
Yeah.
So each person, you know, make, now there's probably 30 people back there, maybe 40 people, and could ask a question. And, of course, everybody wanted to know about his cars. And there was a show in Shine before the concert, before he did a stand-up. And evidently he went out and, like, met some of the people with the show in Shine.
Yeah, talking carburetors.
I love it.
Well,
somebody
asked him, how many cars do you have? 150. How many motorcycles? 17. And, well, do you know, and then Gregory Cheeto, who's there, says, well, do you have a 35 Duesenberg SLX? And he looks at, and he says, I understand you have a Duesenberg collection. And do you have a 35 1935 Duesenberg SLX? And Leno looks at him and goes, well, no. He says, but I do have a 1934 Duesenberg SLX. Oh, well, he says, everybody else
in the room is rolling their eyes.
Everybody's going, Duesenberg? And one woman gives him something. He says, well, I'm not into boats, but I'll take it anyway. He says that when it talks about retiring, somebody asked him about retiring. He goes, well, you know, he says, I do 210 dates a year. Now, you think about that. And in part of the answer, he said, yeah, he says, like, today I'm here. He says, tonight I'm in Redding. Tomorrow I'm in Florida. And so, you know, how he travels so much. And he says, you know, he says, really, he says, retiring from the show, it was time. He said, frankly, I don't really care about what hip-hop lyrics are about today. And it was hilarious. And then he goes on and during the show. And I can tell you what, he did like at least 90 minutes, and he did not get, I think he didn't use any, he was a little risque, but there was no anything that you would, you know, go, oh my God, did he really say that?
He didn't go all Chris Rock.
He didn't do anything like that. And he finishes up with a joke that says, he says, you've got it bad. He says, really, do you think you have it bad? He says, there's a guy that was in a motorcycle wreck. He broke all the bones in his body. And for a year and a half, he is in traction with everything. Cass, they can't even let him lay on the bed. He's hanging there. And the only thing he's got is he can see through his, he's bandaged everywhere but his right eye. And he looks at the whole world through his right eye. He's trying to be optimistic. And then the doctor walks in and says, man, I don't like the looks of that right eye.
You know, here's the thing.
You know, you start laughing. I mean, it was just a funny joke.
Here's the thing. Jay Leno had a lot of great takeaway jokes.
Oh,
you know,
man.
It's something, he is so brilliant. He's so bright. And, you know, he's 65, so it's of the era of when you did club after club after club after club. And just have that road warrior, you know, philosophy. So that's what he is. He knows how to work with the people. He knows how to please the people. It was just really
a wonderful
show. So we were really blessed to be there.
Yeah, he knows how many jokes he has. We're going to talk a little bit more about it.
You do a little local research, or you had a couple of regional bits of humor?
Not really, but he knows that, you know, this guy's been doing this a long time, and the feedback he gets from his audience. And then that tells me that he's like, you know, he's got all these jokes online, you know, in his head ready to go. And then the feedback he gets on some of which will probably shift him into a different, you know, a different side of it, like maybe a little more conservative, maybe a little more liberal. I mean, frankly, he gave, you know, there wasn't one out there. There wasn't one candidate out there he didn't smack pretty good.
Mm.
He wasn't gross or anything like this, but he just, you know, he just hit them all.
I've seen a few comedians who actually localized a little bit some years ago. Gallagher came to town, and he'd actually researched some top news headlines and made fun of the fact that at the time we had no library.
He said also that, you know, that he grew up in a small town in, what was it, Connecticut or New Hampshire. And that it was 10,000. He said, but Reading kind of gave him that feeling, mm-hmm. even though it's 100,000, 90,000 mm-hmm. people. It kind of gave him that feeling. So,
smallest town of 100,000.
Yeah, the smallest town of 100,000 you ever meet. Hey, okay, we got to take a break, but this This portion of the show has been brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting, I dropped it down to 65 last night.
Yeah, you did?
I did. I know you're.
Yeah, I didn't even know it because I have my own setting. So if you decide to be 100 or 40 or 35,
you don't
that's
care.
The nice thing about the dual, the dual control.
The dual air control. Your Sleep Number setting, of course, is 40. And here's the thing about it is we just had some friends, Tom and Debbie Johnson, Angel Flight or Honor Flight, just went over there and just purchased one, as many of our other friends have, because you know what? Three parts of your life. Diet, exercise, and a good night's sleep. When's the last time you can truly say you slept all the way through the night? And I'm not counting on the fact that your dog Bozo jumps on the bed with you and lays on your face. That doesn't count. No. I'm talking about just sleeping through the night and waking up the next morning refreshed. On our schedule, and if you had our schedule, you'd say, why do you guys do that? It's a big schedule. But we wake up in the morning, we're ready to go the next day because we know when we get into bed, we're going to go to sleep. And you can't get any better than that. And then with the new Sleep IQ technology, optional Sleep IQ technology, it will give you hints. And one of the biggest hints is turning off your computers an hour before you get ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself into the sleep mode that you're doing.
It's a ritual.
Yeah, and it's whether you're making adjustments to the comfort of your bed or just making a couple of different lifestyle choices, this is the bed to do it with, Sleep Number. Right now, you can get the best sleep of your life with a Sleep Number mattress and Sleep IQ technology starting at only $1,099.98. Let me tell you, American-made was rated the best by Consumer Reports in 2015. You can't get any better than that. And, again, made in America. Go on down to the Target Shopping Center. Head on over there to the Sleep Number store. Go see Brian, Janice, or any of the professionals there. They're going to help you out with this. You're never going to look back once you get it. All right, we're going to be right back after these messages. It's Monday, 28th of March. It's 7:18 in the
morning.
We'll be right back.
Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me? About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, there is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable. Yes, I see, I said. The second said, the quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable. Yes, I agreed. The third scolded me. If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle. I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, well, we looked it all over, and we all agreed. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys? Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Redding's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Redding's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with three personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Come fly with me, let's fly.
Welcome back to Free Fly Radio on KCNR, 1460. Hey, we got a bunch of public announcements here that I want to just kind of run through it for you real quick. Saturday, May the 7th. Military Order of the Purple Heart is having their annual fundraiser out at Gold Hills. It's going to be a scramble golf course. Helmets are optional.
What are... Did you say helmets?
Helmets are optional only because you have never seen all of us play out there. Oh. It is the day of errant golf balls. My golf balls are camouflaged, of course, and with my name on it. And a little USMC symbol. Net proceeds will fund Veterans Assistance Program and scholarship funds. They're going to give a $7,000 in scholarship this year to local high school and college students. It's going to be a great event out there Saturday, May the 7th. I want you to plan on it. I want you to give Bill Filan a call at 339-5449 or J.T. Thomason at Gold Hills, 246-7867. Now, it's $150 to sponsor a hole. And I believe I have no idea how much it is to play, but it's not going to be that much. But $150 to sponsor a hole out there, which a lot of people do. And you can make the, again, give Gunny Bill Filan a call at 339-5449 or J.T. Thomason at Gold Hills. Now, I also know that also they provide a lunch. There we go, out there. So it's going to be a great time. The 2016 Shasta District Fair commercial vendor applications are now available. The theme this year is there's country in the air at the Shasta District Fair. And then the Tyler Whitlow and One Safe Place on Saturday, May 14th, for the 9th annual Walk a Mile in Hershey.
Wow, what day is that?
That's May 14th. So let's check. There's some reason it's birthdays, or I think it's somebody's birthday. Is it your mom's birthday?
Mom's birthday is May 10th.
Okay, maybe we can make that one then. And then, of course, the Safari Club International.
Oh, yeah.
April 30th.
Come on out
okay,
on this one.
Now, come on out on this. This is going to be a great time at Wind River. It's 5 p.m. to 6:30, receptions and games, auctions, 6:30 dinners, auctions and drawings. Go to scireading.org to find out more. But they've got hunts all over the world. They've got world-class gun raffles that you can win. It is going to be absolutely fantastic, all of these things.
Here's something in the headlines today.
Can I finish just one more on Jay Leno?
Sure.
Okay, only this. There's that Jay Leno talks about getting older and how things change in your life. And I'll just leave you with this thought. He says when he was 35, he was riding his motorcycle about 90 miles an hour. He was making a curve. The bike slid out from underneath me, slides across the road. He chews up his leg. He crashes his bike. He's in the hospital. That day he's in terrible agony. The next day he's feeling better. Monday night he's on the Tonight Show hosting it. He says, there I was. He says, yeah. He says, I was 35. He says, now I'm 65. I was in my recliner last Thursday. I turned my head, yawned, and I can't move my back. So it was kind of,
You related.
You kind of related.
You related to many things.
I related. And he was saying other things like, when was the last time a girl really found you attractive? He says, for me, it was age 52.
Yeah, I kind of felt that last week because I've started this thing over.
You're working out, buddy. Yeah. You know what? You put it on Facebook, too. Yeah,
the elliptical reminded me that my knees are 60 and not 30.
Yeah, it's true. Part of your whole
life. You need to hop in the water over there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I tell you what, it'll take the pressure off your joints right now because Bob doesn't know it yet, but he's going to enter the Spartan with us in November.
Even if we watch and we stand by and we walk out. Okay, I want to talk about something in the headlines.
I'll be in my walker.
A whole bunch of stuff here that's going on in the headlines, but this one kind of just stuck out, so I'll go with this first. Because this is how weird things can happen. This is why it's really important to pay attention to the details. A Texas woman whose tornado-damaged home was wrongly torn down has received an apology from the demolition company. It seems that Lindsay and her son survived a December 26 tornado only to have their tornado-damaged home demolished last week. She said she's in disbelief. It's hard for her to sleep. She and her neighbor, Alan Cutter, have been waiting on insurance and a possible FEMA assistance. Now, I've been there with the flood and waiting for FEMA.
Yeah, you can wait for FEMA.
And it's waiting for FEMA with the floodwaters in the house for 2 weeks. Maybe yeah. Then. And then finally,
goes, what flood?
Farmers insurance came in, which, yeah. Thank God. Okay, so waiting for FEMA assistance declaration before they began repairs on the duplex they each own sides of. But they were left with nothing when their homes were mistakenly demolished.
This was an error in Google Maps. And the company at first, when she contacted them, said, oh, well, it was a mistake on the map, not our fault.
Oh.
It was on Calypso Drive instead of Cousteau Drive.
We ran
that on the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand this because if you remember, John Denver wrote a song, The Calypso, which was Cousteau's boat,
yeah,
ship,
yeah.
That he went out, you know, when he did all of his environmental things and study of the oceans, Jacques Cousteau on Calypso. So obviously it was easy for a guy driving a bulldozer just to get those two names mixed up, you know, and two runs back and forth, gone.
And Google Maps' response was, oh, whoops.
Well, you know, it's not even Google Maps, it's...
A little straight cred.
So I guess that I hope they have insurance for this, the wrecking company, because it's not just taking down the house. It's all those things that were still inside the house.
Yes, exactly. Women know what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm sure Easter Sunday for many, many people who pull out grandmother's china, the lace, the tablecloth, or, you know, if you have a traditional Easter thing that you do, you know, a lot of it has to do with tradition, of course. When you think about those things being shattered or ripped away from you, it's really, it goes so deep into a level of feeling loss.
Well, you know, and you know, the sad part is that they made it through it. You know, okay, we have some damage and all this. And so they're in a hotel, so they come back that day to say, okay, maybe we're going to get some of our stuff and, you know, make sure it's safe, put it in storage. And it's there, and a bulldozer is sitting on top of what their house used to be, what their home used to be, I should say. So, I mean, it's just, it's almost... If you're looking at it from the outside, you kind of almost are embarrassed when you laugh. But if you're on the inside, it's kind of like, I hope that they can look at this and go, wow, they just bought me a whole bunch of new Easter stuff.
Very hard to not have a little Schadenfreude there, unfortunately.
Yeah, but yeah. Hey, did you see they're going to start questioning the perpetrators of the high-speed train?
Ooh.
Yeah, Angel. I mean, you're out there studying this. If you get a chance, give us a little
Please
call.
Please let us know.
Yeah, give us a little call on this. Hey, by the way, at 7:30, I hope this works out, Ms. Jenny Thomas is going to call us, and she's wants to tell you about why Cruz is going to be the one that should be elected. And Ms. Thomas heads up a think tank here in town, or not in town, but a national think tank. She is has worked with Senator Richard Army. She just happens to be the wife of a Supreme Court justice. So the phone just rang, and I believe she's on. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back after these messages with Mrs. Jenny Thomas. So, Bob, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mrs. Thomas.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. 49 degrees here, 7:30 in the morning. And it's Carl and Linda Bott here in KCNR 1460. Good Monday morning to you. And on the phone
is Jenny Thomas, who is battled in Washington, D.C. for principles that she's believed in for years, has been working advisor to Majority Leader Dick Armey and a senior political appointee at the U.S. Department of Labor. She's the founder of LibertyCentral.org, nonprofit for citizen activists. Good morning, Mrs. Thomas.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Nice being with you. Now, you're calling us with a message for everybody up here in Northern California.
Well, I'm excited. California is on the map coming up as one of the most important primaries to determine who's going to lead this country. And I just want to put in a plug for the man that I have worked with since he came from Texas to Washington to be a senator. And let me just tell you from direct experience, he's the real deal. He knows what's broken in Washington. He's fearless. He's principled. He's effective. And Ted Cruz is the guy that I think is the best to lead this country, to be the leader of the free world.
Do you see this national election, or you see this run-up to the national election as being different than anything you've ever seen before?
Yes, I would say that's the understatement. It is really scary how different it is. And I blame this all on the Washington Republican elites. Probably the Democrat elites, too, have caused the Bernie Sanders problem on the other side. But really, Washington Republicans, people in the base and the citizens around this country gave them the House, the Senate, and they ended up not fighting but accommodating Obama's fundamental transformation of America, putting us in a revolutionary state in the Republican Party against Washington.
Well, you know, and that's the interesting thing is that when you see somebody like Donald Trump, who is you know, saying things that would have had him, you know, thrown out of bars, has got so much attention. And it is. I think that people no longer trust what's happening in Washington, D.C., and they're looking for somebody that's going to come in there and kind of like clean house. Or what is it? The sheriff's going to give them till sundown to get out of town?
Yeah, you know, that was appealing to me, too, as I watched Donald Trump come onto the scene. And I have to admit that he was my second choice after having spent time and knowing Ted Cruz. But what I've watched and observed since that time is the establishment cozying up to him, the deal-making, the way he's running this campaign. It is not at a high level. It's not what America deserves. We have serious issues. Exhibit A would be Brussels and the attack that recently happened, or San Bernardino in California. I mean, we've got serious threats to our safety, and our economy is in bad shape, and you can't get very deep with Donald Trump. But I would say Ted Cruz has a plan starting day one.
Well, okay, well, can you – I know that you are in the inner circle with Senator Cruz. So can you tell us what his, like, the first 180 days that he would like to accomplish, some of the first things?
Well, you're nice to ask. I mean, repealing Obamacare is top on his list. Getting rid of the Iran nuclear deal is also right up there. But I think he said on many public occasions he would start an investigation into Planned Parenthood, because that what they're doing seems to go over the line. They're coloring outside the lines. I can't go through everything right now. I don't have some notes in front of me, but I know from everything we've done with him, he's about relimiting the federal government and bringing us back to what's made America great.
Well, that's the other question I have, Ms. Thomas, that, you know, with him in there, I see this fact of shrinking government. I haven't heard one candidate say, in my first 4 years, I'm going to shrink the federal government by 10%, and then say how they would do that. I would love to hear something like that.
I think you're right. I think we should demand things like that from our candidates, that they get very specific on what they're going to do in Washington, because I'm afraid Donald Trump doesn't know how to handle Washington except bully it around, and it doesn't work that way. You have to know how to make the right employees be put in on top of agencies. You have to know the rules and the regs and the way – you just have to know more than what Donald Trump thinks he knows. So I do think we should reduce the size and scope of government. And if you read books, like Charles Murray has a really good book, that half of the front of the book is about the growth and the trend lines, with a lot of facts and statistics and good stories on how it's gotten way out of line and out of control. And so we need a serious effort, and this is a time in a primary to demand that from our candidates.
Well, you know, and the fact is that we have so many people in these agencies, these nameless, faceless bureaucrats, I call them bureaucratic thugs, that come in and make decisions about people's lives. And BLM, EPA, all of these, not elected officials, and it seems like, you know, who's in control of this? That's where I'd like to see a strong leader that can actually take a look at it and say, you know what, some of these BLM, maybe some of this land should go back to the states. We don't need all of this.
Yep.
But that's
I totally
just a,
agree with you.
That's just my thought.
Well, even the IRS. I mean, no one came to closure on the IRS being used as a weapon, a political weapon against Obama's opponents. And even with a Republican Congress, they seem so inept at congressional oversight. And besides that, Congress is kind of complicit with what you're talking about, because they grant very ambiguous sweeping authorities to the executive branch and the administrative agencies, whose power is growing over all of us as citizens, whether it's BLM or EPA or IRS. So there's actually a very good article, if you Google Christian Adams and the Justice Department and turkeys, he's got a very clever article, from having been on the inside as a whistleblower at Justice, of the Civil Rights Division, and it's a compelling article about the difference between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and what they could do with the likes of the Department of Justice.
Well, that would be interesting. I would love to see somebody like Trey Gowdy become the Attorney General and just turn him loose. Say, hey, all those things you're trying to find out, go for it. Ms. Thomas, immigration is such a big thing, especially with the fact of all these attacks that are going on in these other countries, Obama wanting to bring in, you know, tens of thousands of people from, you know, Islamic countries have been forced out of that area because of his poor, you know, foreign policies in the Middle East. I know that Ted Cruz has talked a lot about immigration.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's beyond immigration. Immigration is a symptom of the erosion of our national sovereignty. And we've got to find all the different ways to make America great again. I love Donald Trump's phrase. I just don't think he can put the tactics to the strategy. But immigration and closing the borders, making it so we know who's coming in and out of our country, because our safety and security rests on that. And it's the number one reason that our government exists, is to keep us safe. So we have been losing our national sovereignty because of President Obama, with open borders and with all the other things that he has been doing with his words and his actions to erase the lines around our country. And without a border, you don't have a country. So this is such an important year for America to choose who's going to run, who's going to correct the course that America is on. And California has such an important role. We're watching some free speech problems in the state of California on college campuses. Stanford University, thank God, is coming up with its students are demanding to be able to learn Western civilization. I don't know if you've covered that on your station, but there's a lot of emerging issues that presidential candidates need to talk about.
There absolutely is. And I know you've got to run here in a minute. I know you're really busy on making these, reaching out to people. But, you know, the fact that Ted Cruz has got people like yourself and so many others working for him, and is reaching out to all these different audiences throughout the United States, you know, bodes well for him, I believe.
Well, what you do every day in talk radio is what keeps us sane, some of us, because it's hard to watch the mainstream media, but you're doing a yeoman's job of keeping people engaged, informed, and focused on the right issues. So thank you for what you do.
Hey, we fight the good fight up here. You know, people don't realize that Northern California is a lot different than Southern California.
Good job. Keep it up.
Thank you so much, Ms. Thomas.
Thank you for your time today.
You
thank
bet.
You.
Take care.
Bye.
Goodbye. Okay, that was Ms. Jenny Thomas. And, you know, and we're not to mention, of course, while she's on the air, but she is the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And the
she's been a voice.
She's, I tell you what, she has been through the ringer.
Yeah,
you she's know,
been
if
a
you
voice.
Remember what they did to Clarence Thomas during his when he was being grilled by the Senate, the things they threw at this man are just. I mean, what if people had said the same things to Obama that they said to Clarence Thomas, that they people have been screaming racism and, you know, you bigoted, you know, SOB, you know, blah 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 blah, all this stuff. So he's been through it before, and Mrs. Thomas is a power in her own right in the things that she's done. Okay, hey, we're going to take a break now and bring in our next guest, Steve Callen. You know what? I love having these people on. He's the son of a game warden. He talks these stories about what the Northern California area and California used to look like years ago. You know, from this type of viewpoint, we're going to have Steve on right after these messages. This portion of the show, however, is brought to you by our friends over at Properties by Merit. And our agent of the week is Aaron Richard, of course, top producing agent with an in-depth knowledge of the real estate market in and around Reading. We know Aaron, and she is a motivated lady who gets the job done for her clients. Check her out on the richardrealestate.com. That's R-I-C-H-A-R-T, realestate.com. Or call her at 949-9103. Properties by Merit. We'll be right back.
And I was going over the Cork and Kerry Mountain. I saw Captain Farrell and his money he was counting. I first reduced my pistol and then reduced my radio. I said, stand over and deliver on the devil. He may take you.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Reading, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
21 counties declared for the state of Jefferson, and still we remain ignored by our occupiers in Sacramento. Little do they realize all they've accomplished is making us stronger. Come find out how. Shasta County Town Hall, Saturday, April 2nd at 4 p.m. The Senior Citizens Hall, 2290 Benton Drive. Come hear Mark Baird speak on representation, accountability, constitutional principles. What they said could not be done is being done.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life.
Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays, or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from?
Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta.
Uncle Bob, where did I come from?
You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227.
Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Monday morning, 7:45 in the morning, currently 49 degrees. Kind of a mostly sunny day with our temperatures around 62, partly cloudy tonight with our temperatures around 43. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Tuesday calls for 68 with Tuesday night around 44. And Wednesday is a high of 73 as we progress through our week. Thursday calls for a high near 76. So we're going to see that turn of that beautiful weather that gets up in our 70s. Friday calls for 76 as well. And Saturdays, our forecast calls for slight chance of showers. Mostly sunny, though, with a high near 71. Our weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. Good morning, everyone.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Wellgate Sports Club, getting me ready for the Spartan race in November. It's going to be shields and swords and thongs. That's thongs on your feet, not thongs I wear. Anyway, they also have a lot of different programs down there. Bob's just joined, and he said that, you know, he just reminded him how tough it was when he was on the elliptical. But they've got this new program over there, and it's taught by a lady by the name of Kathleen Cowling. And it's a saltwater pool where you work out in the pool, and it takes a lot of pressure off your joints and all extremities. But it really gives you a great workout. Plus, all the different types of things they have over there at Wellgate Sports Club. And the club also has Boheme Spa that if you sign up for the premier package, it includes two spa treatments in that, which kind of is worth more than the whole package there, I mean, you know, as far as money-wise. And then you've got trainers, you've got it all there, including a sauna in the gym there. Or I shouldn't say gym. It's not a gym. It's a club. So many things going on there. Give them a call at 768-1205 or just stop by Wellgate there on the corner of Eureka Way and Court Street. You'll see it.
I'm really excited about our next guest, Carl. And I know you've been reading his book.
Right. And they're talking about the Stephen Callan and his, this is his second book, if I remember right.
Good
the
morning.
First one
Good morning.
Was what, Badges, Bears, and Eagles?
Yes.
And this one is The Game Warden's Son. And a Book of the Year Award finalist from Forward Magazine, and a story about a young man growing up kind of in an idyllic lifestyle with his father, who is a game warden right up here in California. So good morning, Steve, and your beautiful wife, Kathy.
Good morning.
And you're going to have a book signing at Costco this Saturday.
Yes.
So people can come up and meet you. But first of all, we want them to know, of all of our loyal listeners here, a little bit about you and what inspired you to write the second book.
Well, the second book, I was inspired because I had lots and lots of stories still left to tell. And when the publisher asked me if I had a sequel in me, I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. In fact, this time I'm going to start before I did with the other one. I had to, like, this time I was going to start back in the 50s and 60s when my dad was actually a fish and game warden down in Orland. So I would start there and work my way back up to the present day. So I had stories all the way, basically a half century worth of stories to tell still.
Well, you've got some that you were out with. You know what? Here's the thing that really amused me was in today's society, you know, how everybody is so protected. Well, back when you were growing up, you rode with your dad out on missions where you were going after poachers. And there you are. And in fact, you know, he left. He put you in with another game warden in this one time. See, the poachers, and you start getting into the 50s back there, and these guys are like high-speed racers back out in the rice fields and all this. And you didn't, of course, have all the communications and all these. So, was, you know, a warden went out there pretty much by himself. And this time, though, the three wardens got together, including one warden you just weren't too sure of. He seemed a little caustic to you. And so your dad put you with him.
Yes.
And he says, hey, we're going to go down and block this. And then he just kind of leaves you someplace and takes off.
Right. Well, my dad didn't actually put me with him. He actually asked me
if
I wanted to go with him. And I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I said, well, I'll okay. Yeah, and then when we get to the spot where he parks his car and he's about ready to go out into the rice field, this is in the middle of the night, by the way. I'm climbing out of the car and I've got my boots on and I'm all excited and I'm gonna follow. I'm like a teenager at the time. I'm about 15 years old and I'm gonna, I'm all excited about going out after these poachers. And he says, no, you stay here and watch my car. And so that's how that whole thing started.
Yeah, but it went more from there though. Just here and then. So what happens is the you watch the poachers come, get out of their car, and you go down and see what they were doing, I mean, after they left, and you find all the
right.
purloined ducks that they'd been killing out there.
Right. Mm.
And then you run back, and now, you know, and so you left where you were supposed to be.
Exactly.
Dad was not happy.
No, I didn't follow instructions, and that was the lesson that I learned from that.
Now, there's, so, you know, as life goes on with your dad and this kind of work, I mean, it was, the fact, again, like I said, the big thing to me was he gets to ride around. Now, you also knew all the best fishing spots.
Well, I knew a few of them, that's for sure.
So, do you know where all the, like, wild turkeys are? just a question.
Now, if you remember what I said a little while ago.
I know. He says he's got so many in his backyard, he has to shoo them away to get to his dog. You know, they're out there, they're roosting on his car. I mean, you know, come on, you know, Steve. All right, now. We have somebody in here said, I loved his first book, and we'll order the second one. Well, Sonny, you don't even have to do that. You can go down to
Costco
this Saturday between 10 and 4.
And
nice
he's going to and he's gonna be there signing these books.
Oh, we'd love to see.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Kathy, what's it like? I mean, it's, you know, how is it?
I'm just so proud of Steve. I'm his publicist and his proud wife, and I am just so proud of him because when he was working as a fish and game lieutenant here in the Redding area, and of course he has worked all over the state, he made so many crackerjack cases and was such a good writer, and he always wanted to write that book. And, you know, everybody talks about the book that they're going to write. Well, he actually sat down and did it. And lo and behold, he submits it to a publisher, and they accept it.
The first time.
He got two offers from publishers, and this is with his first book.
This is kind of unusual.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I was just so excited. And he's a great storyteller. You know, his books are funny. They're humorous, they're educational, and they're entertaining, and people keep telling us that they can't put them down. And the neat thing about them is they're individual short stories as well. And I'm especially proud of him with the second book because it also pays tribute to his father. There's a beautiful human interest story in there. You know, this isn't just a game warden book. This talks
about...
it's
a family book.
It is.
It is. Family book.
And it talks about how he and his dad grew up, you know, working together, and now how it's come full circle, and now he's his father's mentor as his father's going through the vagaries of aging. And, mm-hmm. and it's just, it made me cry. And I know how it ends, you know.
Wow.
It made his publisher cry. Women love it. Men love it. It's
okay, now I'll tell the truth, I haven't gotten to the end yet. I mean, I was going through it. And like I said, my time is no longer mine anymore. But this is at the top of my list.
It is.
She looks, okay, and all the books I have piled up, this is on the top.
Oh, okay.
So when I sit down, I read another chapter.
Of it.
Now, you were a game warden, too.
Yes.
And, I mean, you've got all types of stories in this.
Yes.
What have you noticed that in, so now, when were you a warden from? It was...
I began in 2002 and retired at the end of... I began in 1974 and retired at the end of 2002.
I was going to say that. That's not what I read. But that's okay if it was going to change. But okay, 74 to 2002. I never correct the guy that writes the book.
And, okay? In what county were you? I'm going backwards. In what county were you?
I started out down in the Colorado River in San Bernardino County, right on the river. And then I became a lieutenant and moved to Riverside. And I was in Riverside for 3.5 years. And then transferred up here to Shasta County, where I finished my career. I spent the rest of my career right here as the lieutenant here in Shasta County.
Now, Steve, what are the big differences you've seen? Your career spanned a long time, mm-hmm. and probably changes in society. What was the biggest thing you saw?
Well, a lot of things are changing now, particularly back in the days when I started, it was still a pretty loose situation, and most of the work was hunting and fishing and dealing with poachers. And now there's a whole lot more involved as far as environmental damage. The wardens of today are dealing with hardened criminals
on the marijuana growers.
So.
Yeah, they're going out there, you know, with wearing protective vests,
exactly.
Automatic weapons, you know, to go out to go into these raids. I mean, this has changed a lot since your dad was carrying a .38 chasing around some duck shooters.
It's very, very dangerous. Every situation is dangerous, and it's not getting easier. In fact, I mentioned in the book one of the last chapters in the book, I talk about a young warden that went to work down in Morro Bay area, and he comes across a situation where these smugglers out of Mexico are coming ashore with boats loaded down with bales of marijuana and drugs. And this is another new thing that the wardens are dealing with. And when these people come, these smugglers come in. I mean, they're coming in. They're dangerous people that are armed.
Yeah, I mean, they're armed to the teeth, and they don't really care.
Who do you think are the first people they're going to run into? Them? It's the wardens that are out there working, you know, looking for fishermen or whatever. And they're coming in. Here's this panga boat they call them, loaded down with drugs.
That's scary stuff, right there.
It's really scary.
Yeah. It's a movie, actually. But in the back of the boats is with wry humor. Callan tells how he and his fellow officers outwitted the perpetrators, most of them crafty, some of them hilariously foolish, who poached deer, lobsters, and abalone, baited bears and sold their part, shot wild ducks at supply restaurants, and killed songbirds for Epicurean dinner tables. Their cases took them across the Channel Islands, through the back alleys of San Francisco, up the Sacramento Valley, into the Sierras, and along California's pristine north coast. While these dedicated wardens saw their share of greed, they also appreciated the many hunters and fishermen who obeyed the laws and respected the earth's resources.
That's a big thing.
That's cool.
The good hunters, you know. And I'm just bringing us. We bring the junior hunters out for turkeys, and the whole big idea behind it, because we have one of the game wardens come in and speak,
mm-hmm.
is to teach the proper way. You know, shoot when it's allowed. Don't trespass on other people's property. To be mindful of what you're doing. And I think so many of those are out there, but unfortunately you kind of end up dealing with the ones that aren't.
Right. Yeah, the ones that want to commercialize wildlife and do it the wrong way. And that's one of the things I try to emphasize, particularly in the first book, is that this isn't against hunting or anything like that. In fact, the hunters and fishermen are the ones that pay most of the bills.
Some
of the biggest or the best conservationists in the world are actually hunters. And so
you're getting Ducks Unlimited, Safari Club International.
Exactly.
You're getting all these. They're the ones that are saving the environment.
Exactly. Well, it's a complicated situation, but when you look in the world of wildlife management, one of the tools of wildlife management is hunting, and as long as it's done legally and it's not for illegal purposes. So.
Right. Okay, now we're here with Stephen Callan, and his latest book is The Game Warden's Son. He's going to be at Costco this Saturday from 10 till
4.
10 till 4, signing his book. His other book is Badges, Bears, and Eagles, which I want to get. And I tell you what, this is a great book. And if you like the outdoors, if you like just some great stories and some really fantastic writing, you're going to love this book. And I can't help but think that Badges, Bears, and Eagles are just the same way.
Yes, and as his publicist, I'd like to put in a couple of mentions, if I may, Carl and Linda. Number one, his Badges, Bears, and Eagles book was a Book of the Year finalist from Forward Reviews, which is an international trade magazine that deals with independently published books. And I also wanted to mention that he has a website, StephenTCallen.com, that has a schedule of all of his events, and we update those events frequently.
How exciting.
Do you speak at places?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Now, do you all live in this area?
We live in Palo Cedro. Mm-hmm.
Palo Cedro. Okay, great. And by the way, somebody said, wow, she's a great publicist. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for being here. And Kathy, this is not going to be the last time. All right, I'd like to spend more time with you and talk about the things you've seen, because I've got a lot of friends that they see, you know, we've seen the results of poaching and what you got, you know, you all risk your lives out there and then you go in front of a judge who gives them a $100 fine. I mean, come on. But those are more things we want to talk about.
It's been a real pleasure. I can't thank you enough.
Well, it's not going to be the last time, I promise you.
Best of luck to you on Saturday.
That's
thank
right.
Thank you very much.
Folks, all right.
We'll be right back after these messages. It's 8 o'clock here on Monday, the 20th of March.
KCNR, Shasta Redding. From townhall.com, I'm Bob Agnew. In Georgia, Governor Nathan Deal has vetoed legislation that would have allowed clergy members to refuse performing so-called homosexual marriages and protecting people who would refuse to attend such a ceremony. Republican majorities passed a bill to broadly protect people acting on their religious convictions. It also would have protected clergy who don't want to perform such marriages and those who do not want to attend. Churches and affiliated religious groups also could have declined to serve or hire somebody based on their faith. Belgian authorities today asking for help in identifying a man seen on video alongside two suicide bombers at the Brussels airport. A 32-second video of the man in a hat was posted today on the federal police website. Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz defending his call for lawmen to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods in this country in the aftermath of recent terrorist attacks.
We need our law enforcement to engage and to fight this enemy, which is Islamism. It's different from Islam. Islamism is a political and theocratic philosophy.
Cruz appearing yesterday on Fox News Sunday. Muslim activists and Democrats are blasting Cruz and his plan. Who set off a pipe bomb yesterday in Anaheim, California?
At this point, we don't know. Obviously, it's concerning to us.
Says Anaheim Police Sergeant Darren Wyatt, who spoke to KNBC-TV. He says at this point, there's nothing to indicate it was a terrorist attack. House Republicans reported moving toward defunding sanctuary cities in upcoming spending bills.
More than three dozen Republican lawmakers have signed a letter calling on appropriators to prevent any money from going to cities that provide safe haven for illegal immigrants. The letter specifically refers to last year's murder of a San Francisco woman by an illegal immigrant with a history of felony convictions.
As Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting, it's a mixed bag right now on Wall Street. The Dow is up just about 2 points. The Nasdaq down by six. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
From the creators of God's Not Dead, a classroom answer could cost Grace Wesley everything.
They're looking to destroy you. I'm not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God.
God's Not Dead, too. In theaters April 1st, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Tickets and showtimes available at godsnotdead.com.
New images have emerged from Palmyra hours after Syrian troops recaptured the city from the Islamic State terrorist group.
The first images coming out of the UNESCO World Heritage City of Palmyra show the destruction of many monuments by Islamic State militants. But Syria's director of antiquities, Mu'mun Abdul Karim, said it could have been worse. He is heading to the city to assess the damage. Most of the 2,000-year-old monuments and columns are still intact, but there are significant losses. IS militants have destroyed two important temples, Bel and Bel Shamin. Many of the city's archaeological treasures are hidden beneath ground, though. and the damage to them is not yet known.
As BBC's Lena Sinjab reporting, meanwhile, Russian news agencies say that Moscow will send troops and equipment this week to demine the archaeological site in the ancient city of Palmyra. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Former Mexican President Vicente Fox has intensified his message to U.S. voters to reject Donald Trump.
In a 10-minute film recorded against the backdrop of the library, ex-Mexican President Vicente Fox started by urging America, wake up. He said he and millions of Mexican neighbors in the United States remain deeply disturbed and offended by the rhetoric of Donald Trump. And Fox again used the F word when referring to Trump's intended border wall, which he explains would not be paid for by Mexicans, but instead by U.S. taxpayers.
That's correspondent James Beers reporting from Mexico City. Thousands of children expected to descend to the White House for the annual Easter egg roll. More than 35,000 people received tickets that allow them to walk in the south lawn of the White House. Rain or shine, the event includes storytelling, musical performances, cooking demonstrations, and for about 250 kids, a fun run with First Lady Michelle Obama. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Monday, March the 28th, 8:05 in the morning here. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning,
What's
everybody.
The weather look
currently
like?
49 degrees. Our highs today are going to be 62. And we're going to give more of a detailed forecast in just a moment. But let's go to the phones with Sally and find out what's happening with the tea party tonight. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Linda. Yeah, we're excited tonight about what we've got. Debbie Bacchalupi coming down to film. We are going to be making a film tonight about Agenda 21. And then in 2 weeks, she will be back, and we are going to make a part two to the movie, Agenda 2030. So she has a lot of information that she's going to be letting the people know about. I think Agenda 21 is something now that everybody has heard of, but they know very little about. And so that's why we are making a DVD, and it will be available at the tea party.
Well, that's going to sound like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it will be.
And what's her name again? I want to see if you can say it again.
Debbie Bacchalupi.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure that I make sure you got it right the first time.
Yes, and I also wanted to thank you. I just heard the commercial about our Jefferson Town Hall on Saturday.
Of course.
So inviting everybody to come out. What Mark is going to do is explain, now that we have the 21 counties on board, how we proceed from here. What is our next step in the process of becoming the 51st state?
Well, there you go. And I think that, you know, knowledge is, you know, as you know, quoting from Animal House, National Lampoon, knowledge is good. So I think that people, the more people can hear about it, then they can make up their own mind instead of reading bumper stickers. And if they can listen to it and see both sides and say, oh, okay, I'm for this, or they say, no, I'm against it, but let them have all the information, something that the Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted against.
Exactly.
And if, you know, and they've said it to me offline that if they wish that they had done that differently, but they didn't, and they're not changing it. So, bottom line, though, is that the more you can learn about any subject, and that includes the presidential candidates and everything else, the better you can make up your mind for the right decision, and not because of something, just because, oh, I don't like his hair or her husband. You know, one of those things. Yeah, anyway.
All right.
And what's that lady's name again?
Debbie Bacchalupi.
Okay, just making sure.
All right.
Hey, okay.
Thank you tonight at 6 o'clock, and we are meeting at the Shasta Bible College on Goodwater Avenue.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sally.
Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Bye.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew. And I want to talk about something that's happening this Thursday. Everybody, get ready. It's not just for guys. It's for everybody. Thursday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., March the 31st, They're having a smoke out at Tobacco and Brew. That's right. They're going to be featuring My Father's Cigars, the number one rated cigar of 2015. My Father, Le Bijou, 1922. They will have the whole cigar line, special prizes, raffles. It will be there. It'll be there Thursday. And you're going to have a great time, 4 to 7. I'm going to be there. I know a lot of people are going to be there, get a chance to come down, see the people, see what these are, get a chance to win a bunch of prizes. Last time I was there, you won hats and 4 shirts.
4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
4 p.m.
Great.
to 7 p.m. at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And you go next door, of course, Espresso Joe's, any other thing you want, Tobacco and Brew.
Be fun. We'll
now,
be there.
I've got something that, just when you think that the lawmakers can't get any lower. I know you probably think, oh, no, I would never think that because I think they could always get lower.
Stooping lower?
Stooping lower.
Okay.
They're lower right now than whale poo-poo. So how much lower can you get? I guess if you drop into the trench.
Okay.
Well, I've really cleaned it up there. Now, here's the thing. They tried to get all these signatures to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and they were going to, this was going to be a huge fight this year. And because I tell you why, it may make sense in San Francisco where there's lots of money. Do you want to, and they're going to, it's just going to raise it just a dollar a year for 3 or 4 years. The impact it's going to have on our society and when you get away from the coast. So what they decided, they realized they could have probably lose this fight. They could lose this fight. Is now California lawmakers, and this is the big part, labor unions, have struck a tentative deal to raise the statewide minimum wage to $10.50 an hour next year, and then gradually to $15, averting a costly political campaign this fall, and possibly putting California at the forefront of a national movement. It was confirmed on Saturday afternoon by sources close to the negotiations. We speak only on condition of anonymity until Governor Jerry Brown makes a formal announcement as early as Monday. It ends a long debate between the Democrat governors from the state's most powerful labor unions. For Brown, it's political pragmatism. Numerous statewide polls have suggested voters would approve a minimum wage proposal, perhaps even a more sweeping version if given the chance. Really? Really? Okay, here's how it works. Carl's Jr. has already pulled out of San Francisco. This is how it works. All those McDonald's jobs become automated icons there. They become a machine sitting there that you walk in, you order, you pay, and you walk over to the side and somebody brings you out the food. Here's the other things that happen. All those people that are working, starting on these beginning jobs and all of these restaurants, and we'll have Bruce Dean back on and explain it again. This is what happens. You go to $15 an hour. Guess what? That's not a starting wage. That's that's a wage that you bring people on and you keep them there. Because that $15, that's for busboys. What about your cooks and everything else that you keep pushing on up? Where do you think that money's going to come from? It's going to come from the people coming to the restaurants. When you've got a 2% net on all the things that you're selling at these fast food restaurants, and it's only 2-3% net that they make on the restaurant, when you push those salaries up to there, how many people are going to start buying $6 hamburgers?
The $6 burger at Carl's really will cost $6.
It's going to cost, going to cost $12.
Yeah.
So now you've got $6 burgers. I mean, if you're in San Francisco and parts of L.A., okay, maybe you can do this. Well, then vote that in. But you start doing it out and, $15 an hour jobs in Alturas. You think about that. How many businesses are going to go under because of that? How about small businesses that say, you can just raise your prices? Well, unfortunately, let me tell you what happens
trigger.
Oh, now you don't have to. Okay, but then you don't have to tip. Really? Really don't have to tip? Okay, so that waitress is making $15 an hour. There's nothing in there that says, I got to work a little bit harder because if I work well and I do a good job, I'm going to get a big tip. I'm going to get 20% of this bill here, and it's like $300. Gosh, I'm going to do well. No. You know what? Because that bill now is going to be $425, and guess what? No tip. It'll say that. That's what they started in Seattle. We're going to start paying our people $15 an hour. You don't have to worry about tipping. Ask them how they like that. But then the other thing, too, is your busboys are no longer busboys. Now you've got to start training people when you're hiring them. Your chefs are now $25 an hour. I mean, this just goes on. It is just ludicrous. And who's pushing it? The labor unions. The labor unions, which is just a small percentage of the workforce. They have got Brown in their pocket. They've got the lawmakers in their pocket. And it's not just the it's not just your taco places, Taco Bell. It's not Taco Bell or McDonald's. It's anywhere. That means when I bring on a producer here and teach him to be a board operator, it costs me $15 an hour as soon as he walks through the door. And that right there is going to have me start thinking about, well, how many producers do I really need here? Because I can tell you right now that we are an manpower-intensive job, so then I've got to think of other ways. So now I'm going to start thinking about automation, which is going to cost me $200 a month for automation to do a lot of the other jobs around here. But guess what? $200 a month is going to be cheap compared to me hiring another person. I've got to do that if I'm going to survive in this business, just like everybody else. All right. But this, you know what? Again, you want, you know, when you're looking at entry-level jobs is one thing. They've got to make some kind of thing, you know, it's like you've got to be working there for 5 years before you start, you know, getting, you know, raises like that. But we're going to come right back after these messages. Robert, we're going to go to you as soon as we come back from this break. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It is 16 minutes after the hour of 8 here, March the 28th, Monday, 2016.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30043.
The Reading Chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading Chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday.
Good morning. 49 degrees in the downtown studios. Carl and Linda Bott here. Highs today of 62, lows of 43. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned and operated. A great father and son team. Ed DeFore and family have been in the Northern California area for over 8 years, and Kyle DeFore is his son. Full deli and butcher shop, over 1,000 drinks, including 250 beers and 350 liquors and wine options right there in Deschutes Road. Great place to go. Hey, let's go to the phones. The conversation was firing up there, Carl, and the subject, so if you're just tuning in, was?
It's the government here. Instead of letting it go to the voters, no. The governor and his labor union compatriots are saying is that, oh, no, we're going to start raising the salary of people starting at $10.50 this coming year and take it up to $15. But we're not going to put this to the voters and let them get the true information on what the impact this is going to be. We're going to do it behind closed doors. Let's go to the phones. Robert, good morning. Hello, Robert. Good morning.
There you go, Robert.
Robert, you're on.
Hi, yes, am I on?
You're
yes.
on now, Robert. You're live.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, and sorry about the frog in my throat, but I almost lost you there. My my cell phone battery charge was going down, so I'm plugged in, and I'm back in business.
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to say for the record, I'm a state employee for the state of California, plus I'm the son of a World War II veteran who I just had to weigh in on this bit. But, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of the command structure of my union painting us all with the same brush. There's a lot of us who don't believe in this $15 an hour and feel our union's priorities are all screwed up, but we just can't seem to get a seat at the table when it comes time to elect the people who make the policy decisions, especially at our place in Sacramento with the SEIU Local 1000, because there's a lot of people like me who are more concerned with keeping our jobs, and our union keeps telling us, well, forget about it, because we're more interested in taking that guy who the married instructor at the Cal Fire Academy who murdered his mistress, the one who plea bargained it out to get the death penalty off the table. They're more concerned with getting him out of the slammer than they are with the situation that a lot of us are facing.
Well, you know what? Unions are, at one time, very protective of their employees. I'd get that feeling from people I talked to, like you, Robert, and many others, that the main thing they want is your money so that they can try to control the politicians.
Well, we're trying. We got another election coming up as well as contract negotiations, so we're going to just stay in the ball game and keep pitching. But the plain and simple truth of the matter is, if our union was more concerned about certain situations, like I can't go into particulars because the matter's still being batted back and forth, but I'm developing carpal tunnel syndrome in both my wrists, and this April I celebrate 10 years anniversary of working for the state of California, and quite frankly, the agency I work for that I can't say on the air, they're trying to throw me under a bus, and my union's more concerned with that guy who murdered his mistress and getting him out of the slammer, because you haven't heard the fun part, even though this is scuttlebutt around the water cooler. But apparently he's talking about turning state's evidence in that cheating scandal at the Cal Fire Academy on those exams, you know, trying to get more people to pass, uh-huh. Higher graduation rates, you know, 45 come in, they want at least 43 to graduate kind of thing. Well, anyway, according to the scuttlebutt around the water cooler, this dude is planning on turning state's evidence, and if that happens, he's going to get 5 years chopped off his murder conviction. He's going to serve his 2 10-year sentences concurrently, and in theory could be out in 10 years.
Wow.
And our union's more concerned with him than they are with someone like me who's given 10 years loyal service to the people of the state of California and about to get thrown under a bus because my aging body is throwing in the towel.
Well, I tell you what, when you get into unions, like you said, it's sometimes the unions, what they care for more is about the money they collect and the power they wield down in Sacramento. All right. Thanks a lot, Robert, for your phone call.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Coach Bob, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
You're on, Coach Bob. Hello, Coach Bob.
Hi.
You're on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Minimum wage. What are you laughing at? Are you laughing at me?
No, we never
I'm laughing
do that.
With you. I'm laughing with you, buddy.
Yeah, you know where we live.
That made me laugh. Minimum wage. $15 an hour, and you won't have to tip anymore at a restaurant? How totally absurd. Anybody with a brain knows that any of the coffee shops around town, if that girl or guy made serving you made $15 an hour and didn't get tips, they would lose a fortune, an absolute fortune. But people would find that, well, I'm not tipping, you get $15 an hour. It would be disruptive to that business in particular. Those people make easily over $100 a day, and sometimes two and three times that.
Depending on where they work,
Sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about it, Coach Bob, I don't, you know what, when you start talking about this $15 an hour and all this, I mean, it sounds great on paper until you have a business that maybe it's, you know, it uses a lot of manpower. So then you have to start thinking about, okay, how do I cut back on the people that work for me? I'm going to combine jobs. I'm going to do these things so I can stay consistent. Now, you talk about maybe you have like 6 or 10 restaurants or, you know, places that you can kind of spread it out maybe, and then you can bring in the kiosk. But you get a mom and pop place, you know, that serves food, you know, they're going to have a tough time making this. So again, you're narrowing the playing field, and yet people don't understand this. It looks good on paper in San Francisco and Beverly Hills. You get out to Modesto, Alturas, I'm not going to say anything closer on the East Coast because they've got marijuana. But here in Redding, Red Bluff, I mean, you get in those places away from the coast, it is going to have a huge impact.
Yes, it will. And you're right that most people don't understand it because they're not involved in it.
That's right.
They're standing on the sidelines looking and say, well, that's easy. Well, it's not easy. And it's not a simple solution. And the solution is just let capitalism take its course, in my opinion. But government wants to step in and force the issue. And what you might do, just as a future guest suggestion, get Bruce Dean back on and have him discuss it. Dozens.
They've got 76. Yeah, they've got 76 black bears right now, and they're getting ready to open up 100 more throughout the United States.
Not all those are in California, but the ones in California are going to get hit.
Well, he was also the president of the Restaurants Association state of California, representing 2.5 million people. And he came on, and he couldn't have been any stronger. Let me tell you, Bruce Dean he's a fiscal conservative, but he's very socially, he is very moderate and even liberal. He cares about people, but he also realizes what this industry, that huge impact this can have on this industry and how many people it's going to shut down.
Yep.
And it's how many people are going to be out of work. Oh yeah, there's going to be people making $15 an hour, but for everyone doing that, 10 people are no longer going to have jobs. I can tell you that right now. Anyway, you know that. But
and he pays more than minimum wage to virtually everyone under the roof of the Black Bear here in town. He pays very, very well for the hourly employees that don't get tipped.
So people start out, let's say, at Costco, and people like working at Costco. They don't start out at $15 an hour. And, you bring people in for training, they're in there, I mean, and so after a year, so how much do they get then after a year? Do you give them a raise? They're already making $15 an hour. So, I mean, this whole thing is just, I mean, it's the law of unintended consequences. Oh, yeah, it's this poor person working there, this mother with, you know, has to have two jobs. She works at McDonald's. But it doesn't say the impact that it has on up the line, because in a year, she gets a raise. But then so does everybody else up the line until you start closing down shops.
I feel really bad for, and people don't look at it this way, but, again, if you jump the wage to $15, the guy who's worked for 6 or 7 years to get up to $16 an hour is now only a dollar over minimum wage.
Oh, no.
That person deserves better than that, comparatively.
Well, no, and then so those people, you're going to have to bump up $2 or $3 too, because every time
it trickles down.
Yeah, because everyone you bump up to $11, the next guy goes, hey, I've been here, why should he? I get the same amount as he does, so he gets 12.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
So
that's called, I don't know, in my estimation, it's called communism, because that brings everybody together to where everybody is the same. How boring is that?
Thanks a lot, Coach Bob.
I'll let you guys go. Thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, we'd like a big shout out to Mark and Muriel.
Yes, Mark and Muriel, and you know what?
Boo-hoo. Just came in. We didn't see him.
Yeah, boohoo! They're leaving, and they have the best Meyer lemon tree, and he makes a mean pie.
Oh gosh,
he makes a mean pie. Love it. So thank you, Mark
moving.
And Muriel. Yes, and they brought us three books, and they brought us their Meyer lemons.
So we yeah, that's great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. I want to talk about a number of other things here.
I have an article I want to read, too, about what's made in the North State, something very interesting in this weekend's paper.
I want to talk about Bernie and Hillary and this genocide, the genocide that is going against Christians in the Middle East, the ongoing war between me and Northern California wild turkeys. And the Reading
Your
Inn,
obsession.
What's happening at the Reading Inn, frankly, strikes me as being a blow against your freedom under the Constitution by rules that our own city council has set up. And I'll talk about that when we get back to. We'll be right back. It's 8:30 here, KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio. It's your talk radio station. You get into it right here with Carl on the Bible.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hi, I'm Erin Richart with Properties by Merit. Whether you're thinking about buying or selling a property, I can help. Call me today at 949-9103 to discuss your real estate needs or visit my website at richartrealestate.com. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Call or text me, Erin Richart, 949-9103.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR on this beautiful Monday morning.
Welcome back. The portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, where I'm heading out today and this afternoon to get my hair trimmed up. All of them. Not just one, but all of them. Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business, of course. Discounts for Seniors and Veterans, great group of people down there. Man's Last Stronghold, can't get any better than that. It's going to be busy today, so I'm going to prepare myself. I'll go down there and sit close to the magazine rack and catch up on my Guns and Ammo, Car and Track, and Flying magazines. You know, I don't fly, but kind of, I like looking at the pictures.
Do you talk? You talk.
Oh, we all talk. We all talk. Yeah. And then we watch sports on the TV
set. Sling the ball.
We sling the ball.
Sling the ball, and they cut the hair off your ears and your neck, or anybody else.
Yeah, they shave. They shave your neck and around your ears.
They try not to cut off your ears.
And if they do, they know what they do is they put a lot of this white septic pistol and pencil on it to try and stick it back on. But they've never had that problem. No, never had that problem. Anyway, great guys down there. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue.
Okay, the 28th here of March. Several weeks back, the Discovery Channel reached out to Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce CEO Jake Mangus. You know, we had him on the other day. Really excited about the things he's doing, but here's what's going on. So How It's Made, which invites viewers to discover, among other feats, how milk is processed, how window blinds are fabricated, or maybe life's greatest mystery, how Worcestershire sauce is made. I know you love this, Carl. We watch this, How It's Made.
Show.
We do.
I do. And I can't figure out, how did that get?
I know. Mangus nominated the Agitavator, a water-powered a bike that takes flight, and Sea Breacher, a submersible watercraft that looks like a shark. Both products are made by the same company in Reading. Discovery Channel liked the idea and will be in Reading April 19th and 20th to film a segment on the Agitavator and Sea Breacher, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So you know about that.
Yeah, the Sea Breacher was one time known as the Bionic Dolphin back in the
1980s. It has a
Rotax engine. It's a semi-submersible. It has a snorkel on it, and it can dive underwater for several seconds at a time, and then leap out of the water.
Is it a pleasure craft, or is it meant to...
It's a toy.
It's a toy.
They've sold them in Hamako Schimler and in other outlets. It looks like a jet fighter. It looks like it's straight out of science fiction. You sit in a cockpit. You've got joysticks. You're in a 5-point harness with this airplane style canopy over your head. It has a big fin for the air intake. It's powered by a little Rotax engine, but they can take the output from the water pump. Basically, it's built around a jet ski chassis, but they can take that output through a big thick hose and run it into this jetovator that you ride on like a scooter, and you fly around up to about 20 feet off the water.
It's made right here in Reading. I think that's pretty cool to discover. See, we have a lot of things, and I feel before we go into this next segment that we should start off with, you know, there's some wonderful things, creative minds, people moving to Reading, see beautiful things in Reading, and yes, we can elaborate and look at some of the, you know, things that are possibly facing us and that we're smack in the middle here because we do live in the world, you know, and I know Carl's ready to go on one of his, what's bugging you?
Well, there's a lot of things that going on that kind of bother me, but one of them is the fact that there seems to be a genocide going on in the world from Islamic fundamentalists, radical Islamics, terrorists, and they're trying to kill Christians. That's the whole thing. And finally, the other day, Secretary of State Kerry said it was a genocide that ISIS was carrying out. Now, the Taliban just attacked yesterday in a small town in Pakistan where Pakistani Christians were celebrating Easter at a children's park. A suicide bomber walks in there, sets off his bomb, kills 74 people, wounds hundreds that were celebrating the Christmas or celebrating Easter in this park. I can't say again, you know, that we talk about being, you know, let's be open and let's be calm in our feelings that not all Islams or not everybody in the Muslim faith are trying to kill Christians. Absolutely right. Oh, no. I'm not looking at guys down the street here doing that. But let's not lose sight of the fact that what you have going on now is a war against not only Christianity, but Western civilization. Brussels. 4 Americans killed in Brussels. I don't see the flags going down for that. I don't see Mr. Obama mentioning that. I did see this. Maybe he did call the parents of one of the two people killed, I think a husband and wife killed over there. Shout out to him for doing that. But here's the thing: is we're under attack, and it's not just Brussels, it's not just Paris, it's San Bernardino, where we were attacked there. And several or a dozen people killed or more there, and dozens wounded in there. It's all over the world, in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Iraq, and people are going in and just killing Christians, killing all people. But it seems like there's an attack. ISIS is singling out Christians to kill.
But they don't care if they kill a bunch of their own.
They don't care. It's to wipe out Christianity in the Middle East. What are other countries doing about this? Pakistan, this was a large group of Christians. And then you start thinking about who wants to come to this country as a political asylum. And you've got to start looking at Middle Eastern Christians because they're being wiped out. And also, are they going to go through the background checks, which you want everybody to do, of course. But the bottom line on this is that it's happening. It's happening now. And this whole Middle Eastern experience, these millions of people that are going into Europe, they're saying it's not even the ones that came over 20 years ago into the European nations, because what they said was they don't have to assimilate. They can live a multinational culture. They can live in their own enclaves. They can have their own laws. Okay, so they did that. So the people that originally came over are in that, so they didn't have to learn the language. They didn't have to listen to the laws. And it's not to them especially, but it's their next generation that are joining in, the next generation that are pushing hard to spread Sharia law, to take over these countries and to outbreed them, which they are doing like crazy. Italy has already been outbred by the Muslims in the country, and right now the Muslims are at a rate of 4 to 5 to one of the birth rate in Italy. So it's frankly almost too late there. So when you get into these things, you have to ask yourself, what are we facing here? It's more than just ISIS attacks. It's a way of life that's shifting, and that we need to get one, be aware of it, and how do we take care of that, or how do we keep ourselves with our own country, that we assimilate people in here, and we just don't have enclaves of people that don't believe they're Americans. Or they're living in America, but they could care less. What makes America
colonization?
Yeah, what makes America great is the fact we can bring in immigrants in. They want to learn English. They want to become part of our society. It's great. But if we have thousands and thousands and thousands still keep coming in and are not in the system, how do you expect to do that? And we are right now just letting people in willy-nilly. Okay. Owens Healthcare got broken into this weekend. Owens Healthcare. They caught the guy. Well, I don't know. I don't know which one it was, but the guy broke in, and the cops came while he was still in there. He'd already swallowed 30 pills. And this was the reason I'm bringing this up.
Was he trying to OD?
No, I think he just wanted drugs, and that's where he was arrested 20 times in 2015.
Oh my gosh!
20 times in 2015, and you look at this guy. He's got like a college shirt on. You look at him; he looks pretty straight. Do you notice all the tattoos he's got underneath his chin? It goes up into the side of his face, but 20 times he's been arrested. So now he breaks into Owens Healthcare, and if it's under $900, which probably is, guess what? He signs a piece of paper, and he's out on the street again looking at some other place to burgle, to jump into, to break into.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the next thing, the Reading Inn.
Okay, what about the Reading Inn? What gets your goat on this one?
Okay, this is what gets my goat. Reading Inn is a den of iniquity. It needs to be inspected. It needs to have code enforcement all over
them. Always in the news about,
they got cops having to go there all the time.
Harboring
so
criminal elements.
Here's the rules they make. Tell me, my friends, you constitutionalists out there, you state of 51, the time has come for 51, all you people that believe in justice. The Reading Inn, they're saying, is you've got to have background checks on all of your employees, okay? you've got to have a security guard on at least, I don't know, 12 hours a day. Okay, I don't have any problems with that. You know, because you know you can keep things down, and you can't rent hourly. Okay, now you can't rent hourly. That means your prostitution and your drug users. But here's the other thing. You cannot rent to people who are on the do not rent list from the Reading Police Department or who the Reading Police Department don't want you to rent to. And there is the fly in my ointment.
Why?
When the police department, when you're running a business and you're complying, I've got a security guard, you know, I've got people background checks, but now the government is telling you who you can rent to and who you can't rent to. Now, the same people that should be screaming about the fact that the people that were forced, you know, either you bake a cake for a gay couple or you get put out of business, the people that were screaming about that should be screaming about this one, too. How do you let the government tell you? The city council, by the way, is the ones that are doing this. Our five, you know, who are, you know, that you, you know, they're people that believe in justice. How can you let them tell you who you can rent to? So the next thing is, Carl, we don't want you to have that guy on your show because. And you say, oh, that's a big step. Really? They're telling this inn right here who they can rent to. If I was the inn, I would say, you can't force me to do that. Unless you force everybody else to do this, you can't do this. You cannot single me out and tell me who I can rent to and who I can't rent to. You can put rules that everybody has to. That means us, you know, the people from Sierra Gibbs, all these places out there says at Wind River, you cannot rent by the hour. Now, maybe they don't rent by the hour already, so I mean, it's no problem to them. But then you can't say to them, okay, you can only rent to people that we say you can rent to. There's something wrong here with that. There's something wrong
they're targeting a place that has had a lot of criminal element. And so the cops are saying, okay, well, here's how we can clean it up. So, I mean, that's the other side of the coin is a way to say, here's your watch list. Don't rent to this watch list. Now, do you think there's something wrong with that?
I do. I do, and I'll tell you why, is just because you've got somebody's name on a list, it's like the don't fly list. They've got people on a don't fly list that are perfectly innocent. You know, I think it was Teddy Kennedy was on the don't fly list. You've got people on there that says, oh, you've been accused of this. It doesn't mean you're guilty, but you're on this list. And I'll tell you what, Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti comes on here, I'm going to ask him, so what do you think this is? Do you think you can actually enforce this? Can you force people? Can you actually tell people who you can't rent to? And I understand what you're saying. And it's, you know, it was done under the auspices, oh, this is a good idea. But how many other great ideas have there been out there that have impacted on us so severely, this law of unintended consequences? Once you start telling a business who you can rent to, who you can't rent to, based on some kind of subjective process, you start going down that trail. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. This portion,
we'll come back to Terry. I promise.
This portion of the show brought to you by another veteran-owned company, Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for well over 25 years. Both voted best in the North State for 2015 for outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. We use Alliance Heating and Air. They're great people. Warranties, guarantees, emergency help, cleaning, regular six-month cleaning of all your filters, cleaning out your air ducts, cleaning all that stuff. Alliance Heating and Air. Can't say enough about them. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning,
not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weeders and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. are Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143. Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
The Shasta County Grand Jury is accepting applications. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could hope for. Applications now being accepted. To apply and get details, go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? Apply now.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Monday day. It is the 28th of March, just a few more days until we hit April. Just, oh gosh, I just feel like it's Friday. Creeping by. Hey, let's go to the phones to somebody who's been holding. We've been talking about the Reading Inn and some of the conditions that are impeding on people's rights. Terry, let's go to what your thoughts are.
Well, I think that the thing is this is a symptom of what's going on in America. Okay, this is just a symptom of it. There's three words and something that maybe ought to be done on your program, maybe every day for 5 minutes. That's understanding three words and why we're doing Jefferson. Those three words are jurisdiction, number one, interposition to enforce jurisdiction, number two, and nullification of unconstitutional jurisdiction. Those are the three things we have to look at. The government does whatever they want, Carl and Linda. The local government and the city council, no matter how much I can't see the B word on this, about it, it doesn't matter. I want you to ask all your listeners, and I'd like you two guys to come up with something all week long, maybe a little week study. Name one thing, from the makeup that Linda wears, to the food you eat, to the light bulbs you use, to the gas you put in your car, to anything that you do, to the clothes you put on, to your home. Name one thing right now that the federal government or state of California do not control in your life. Name one. And ask someone out in the audience to name one. The only one I've heard of is opinion. And they're trying to ruin that with the expression of opinion with political correctness. So I'd like to hear an answer on that, because there isn't anything. At what point do we stand up? So time has come for 51, for jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. And we should have a program on that.
Well, you know what? We will do that. Because, you know, there's
people don't understand what I'm talking about.
Well, there's people out there, like we had, Jenny Thomas in there today. And when you're talking to her and you ask the question about the shrinking of the government, I haven't heard one candidate say, I'm going to shrink the government by 10% during my 4 years in there, my first 4 years. And I'm going to do it by not firing people, but by making things smarter, or maybe even starting to do away with certain overbearing parts of agencies like the EPA or the Department of Health.
They're
and
unconstitutional.
Services. I'm sorry, what?
They're unconstitutional.
Yeah,
that's
so
what jurisdiction.
Yeah, BLM, just start doing away from
unconstitutional.
Stuff like that. Okay. All right, Terry.
Well, one quick thing, though,
okay.
And that is you also need to have a program on CalPERS, because as of March 23rd, they're turning everything back over to the cities and the counties, okay? And I will quote Jerry Brown, November 27, 2015. Jerry Brown has said that the California Public Employees Retirement System adopted an irresponsible plan that will only keep the system dependent on unrealistic investment returns. This approach will expose the fund to an unacceptable level of risk. Even Brown understands that CalPERS is gone. So state folks, people who have CalPERS, start looking into it right now.
Okay, Terry, thank you a lot.
Yep.
All right. Okay, now, with the last 7 minutes of the show, I'd like to talk to you about my ongoing war with the wild turkeys in Northern California.
It's an obsession.
It is, at this point. Not Mossy Oak obsession, just obsession. I want to talk to you, though, about two people I met this weekend. Again, I was mentoring I use that term loosely, Derek, who is the father, who is a real, I mean, this guy makes documentaries about hunting, and
cool.
His son, Aaron. What a nice young man he is. He's a freshman out at West Valley. Derek is runs all the IT for Reading Bank of Commerce. We went out. And I got out, Mr. McCumber let us go out there and hunt on his ranch. And I got him there. We listened. We heard the turkeys. And this is, Derek had a blind. So he sets the blind up. I mean, and he goes, maybe I should set it here. No, I'm going to put it right here. And then so he starts making these sounds like a hen. I'm not telling you that he sounded just like a hen, but it was kind of like, wow, those are pretty cool. That's a pretty seductive turkey hen out there. And we see the tom and a Jake, which is a young male turkey, coming in. Okay, get ready. And then this hen turkey shows up. She walks in front of them, wiggles her tail feathers, and leads them away. No matter what we were doing on the call. Come back. I'm ready. It didn't work. Now, that's just another day in the life of a wild turkey hunter, Carl Bott. The thing about it is, all my friends, I don't need any more stories about sending me photos about the dozens of turkeys in your backyard, about the ones that are walking across your yard and scratching there, the ones you're taking photos of them looking through your windows. I don't need those. I don't need the stories about the turkeys roosting on your car and you have to shoo them away before you get into your car. I don't need to know that they're in there drinking water out of your swimming pool and they're eating your dog's food. Okay? I have enough of that already. Don't tell me about your grandson running over a turkey on his big wheel. Your three-year-old running over the turkey on his big wheel and then saying, what should I do with him? He doesn't look well. I don't want to hear about you backing over turkeys. I don't want to hear you pointing at it. And when I say, they're really hard to find. Really? And they show me a snapshot on their iPhone of their grandchild that's three sitting in a circle of wild turkeys. And they're all puffed up. I'm not sure what's going on here, except
they can smell.
So far, it's two.
They can smell the Carl danger.
I tell you what. If they could smell, we'd never even see a wild turkey. But they can hear and they can see. And I tell you what, when they look sideways at you and kind of pop their head up and down and they give you that little bark, bark, it's over. It's over for me. I might as well just stand up and walk away. here I am all camoed up, sitting there. It was great. But I tell you, Derek and Aaron, what a, father, son, what a great couple of people it was to meet. I tell you, here's the thing about the hunting. Last week, and with the young lady last week and her dad, that was, Marissa, that was really the high points of it. Whether you get a turkey, whether you harvest a turkey or not, is secondary when you're out there in an environment, enjoying yourself, sitting out there and listening. And it's so beautiful out there this time of the year. Because it's all green. You can hear the turkeys. You can see the turkeys. You just can't shoot the turkeys. I'm kind of thinking, and maybe Terry's right, this is a government thing, that the turkeys have got little collars on them and that, it buzzes if they get near people. It has something to do with the hunting license you have. It's got a little emitter on it. I'm thinking about that. Do you think can they do that, Bob? Can you put little emitters on your hunting license, and then the turkeys just kind of pick up on it?
Hmm. That sounds like a next Kickstarter project.
Yeah, next. How about one?
Start up a GoFundMe.
Okay, so I'm talking about this yesterday. We're having brunch there at View 202, Linda singing. Of course, with my buddy Ted and his beautiful significant other, Lisa. And they're talking about the sounds of turkeys. I just happen to have a turkey app on my phone. I've been reduced to that.
Right.
That's the closest I can get to a turkey is a turkey app. You know, I have to listen to it. Okay. All right. Enough about that. No, I don't want to know anymore.
There is an app for that?
Okay. Yeah, you have an app. Carl has a turkey call app.
Oh, okay. I was making way too much noise. This is okay. Thank you from our chat room here. I was making way too much noise while hunting turkeys the other day, and I heard a turkey say, "Carl, is that you?"
Yeah.
No, really, it really happened.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
He'll learn to get quiet, folks.
I am quiet. I am quiet out there.
They can probably hear you going.
Your lack of success is because it's illegal to use mortars on turkeys.
You know what? You're just lucky I don't have a machine gun out there, you know, heavy caliber. And, you know, or just, you're right, a 105. I'm just going to shoot. I hear a turkey over in that tree. Whoa! I have roast turkey at the same time.
Call it the warthogs.
Calling in wear support. Look, I love the smell of napalm and roast turkey in the morning. All right. Hey, tomorrow Haven Humane is going to be with us, Mark Story, and all the things they've got going on this month and the things they've done for our furry friends. And appreciate everybody being here today. Yeah, people are saying put claymores out. You can, you know, set up ambush. That's all you're doing when you're hunting turkeys. It's just a glorified ambush position. So unfortunately, that, you know, people walk into things a lot easier than turkeys do.
Are you finished? Are you okay?
Okay, I'm finished with turkeys this week.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us here on KTNR 1460 on this beautiful Monday morning.
Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Gobble, gobble.
And KTNR, Shasta Redding.
Won't be turned around. And I'll keep...
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Georgia's governor has made good on this pledge.
I will veto House Bill 757.
Correspondent Michael Harrington says Governor Nathan Deal has vetoed that religious freedom bill.
The legislation, a response to the Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage, would have allowed faith-based organizations to deny services to those who violate their religious beliefs. The NFL, Disney, and other big corporations had been urging Deal to veto and threatening not to do business in Georgia if he refused.
A federal lawsuit has been filed challenging North Carolina's new law, barring local governments from passing anti-discrimination rules. It also requires so-called transgender students to use bathrooms assigned to their biological sex. Their injury is described as shocking. That's how a doctor treating Brussels bombing victims describes wounds suffered by his patients. Correspondent Raphael Sauter says the official death toll